Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.
It needs to be and that the city deserves. We will do what it takes.
Breaking news, the Maple Leafs got him.
Where it is that, yeah, Mike Babcock, according to Elliot Friedman, is coming to Toronto.
Now, it was believed Toronto was out of consideration as recently as last night, with Buffalo and Detroit pegged as the favorites, but ultimately, with an eight-year deal, he's coming to Toronto.
He's been such a successful coach in this league.
Pressure for an athlete or a coach that's been through it a number of times, that's why you do it, because you live for it.
As great as a coach as he is, he can't speed up how much talent this team's going to have in the next few years.
You get very few chances in your lifetime to do something spectacular. So you want the preparation to be equal to the opportunity.
This has been a search for 30 years for this hockey team to find somebody from some other organization to come in here and make this team a winner.
It is Hockey Central, and there it is. The city of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the unmistakable CN Tower. I'm sure tonight it'll be lit up all blue and white. A lot of the buildings are fans excited. So is the home office. Mike Babcock will be in his office for the first time in this position, and the sign says, "Welcome to Toronto, Mike." There's the media room. We expect the press conference to start in around 30 minutes from now, are Mike Babcock to be named the new head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome to this special little break in your day. Hope you're having a lovely day. George Strombolopoulos here, Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean, Kelly Rudy, Damian Cox. We have Elliot Friedman down in that media room there, no doubt, going to get us all the information that he can get to. And there's an awful lot to talk about this coach. He was the most wanted coach, certainly, that was available. How did Mike get here? Take a look at this.
Leaf fans missed out on the number one overall pick in June, but they got the bench boss they wanted.
Yeah, you could call this a stunner. Yesterday, the shocking news broke to the hockey world that the game's most coveted coach is heading not to Buffalo, nor back to Detroit, where he spent a decade, no, but to Toronto. Now, he's just 52, but Mike Babcock has already had a storied career. In 2008, he won the Stanley Cup as the Detroit Red Wings bench boss. And it's hard to forget his role leading Team Canada to Olympic gold both at Sochi in 2014 and 4 years earlier at home in Vancouver. His international success started before the Olympics. In 2004, he also led Canada to a title against Team Sweden at the World Championships, did it again in 1997 at the World Juniors. Throughout it all, his roots are always on display with his omnipresent tie from McGill University, the school where he played defense and was the Redmond captain. Babcock's links to his home province of Saskatchewan are also strong, particularly when he reflects on his late father, Mike Sr., as he did on Rogers' hometown hockey.
I'm from Saskatoon. That's my town, my dad. My sisters were there. And you get to represent our great nation in the greatest game in the world. And those people in Saskatoon, they gave me a platform to be here talking to you.
Today's announcement will bring strong emotions as well for Babcock as his journey reaches another pinnacle, this time culminating with his decision to become the 39th head coach in Toronto Maple Leafs history, and arguably one of the toughest challenges of his professional career. And what a story it's going to be up until the puck drops for the first game and beyond. There, in front of you are the credentials for Mike Babcock. Meet the new boss, many hoping he won't be the same as the old boss. Tons of wins, including a Stanley Cup. We know about the triple gold that's been talked about, a quadruple if you do add that World Junior as well. A man who's been there for some of those successes has been Damian Cox. Before we get into the conversations that we can have around this hiring, what's the news of the day?
Well, so much speculation about Mike Babcock and his contract. What I can tell you, there is no out clause. This is an 8-year contract. He is the coach of the Maple Leafs for 8 years. possibly, probably. The contract is to be the head coach. There are no other official duties. And meanwhile, the search for a general manager goes on. There are a number of candidates. It's possible they may go to the draft without a general manager. That they can kind of take their time on that.
We do know also the general manager of Saginaw Spirit in the OHL, Jim Palafito, is leaving to join the Toronto Maple Leafs. And as Damien just mentioned, not to be the general manager, but to come in and player evaluation or scouting department. Now, the question is, as Damien said, the tagline for the Leafs is, we'll wait as long as it takes to find the right guy as the general manager. The only problem I have with that is the longer you go without a general manager, the more it looks like Babcock is picking his general manager. And I don't think that's a good thing here for the next guy coming in.
You've hired coaches before. Talk about what this is going to mean to this franchise and to the city.
Well, look, I think any time you can get a high-profile coach. I remember when I hired Ken Hitchcock in Columbus, it was a big deal. He had won a Stanley Cup, and we were hopefully bringing a winning tradition, a winning atmosphere, a winning culture. Look, anytime you can get one of the best in the business, that to me is a real positive, and I think it bodes well for them. How often does it happen that a winner somewhere else comes to a new organization and repeats? It doesn't happen very often. This, though, is the consummate challenge for any coach, to win a Stanley Cup in Toronto. It doesn't get any better than that if you're in the hockey business. Quite a challenge.
You've watched this happen in Calgary as well. When bosses come in and they're like, we're going to change this team. We need to get the right guy for the culture. What do you think of this?
Well, this is a different market, though. And comparing what's going on here in Toronto is vastly different than Calgary. So for this, I look at his credentials and say, that's great. But more importantly, I think it's about the personality. Who is Babcock? And it's about his pride and his confidence, because we've seen not only with managers here and coaches and players, it really chips away at you here, the pressure. And so I think how he comes in so proud. You look at him and that jaw sticking out there, and he's, you know, like a general back there. That's very important.
I don't think it'll really come down to wins and losses here early, but it will come down to the compete level. And that was their biggest problem in the back half of the season, is that the character and the ability to compete was questioned. That guy's got to change that culture today.
But won't it also come down early in this stage of the Leafs? It's not just wins and losses, even compete, it's development, right? If they're going to try to rebuild something, some of these players have to be better.
I think it's a whole teaching philosophy. There's no doubt about that. But let's not kid ourselves. Babcock wants to win. Babcock has never lost anywhere. Do you think he's going to come in here and say, hey, we're going to totally tear this down, and for 3 years we're going to be the bottom two teams in the league, and I'm going to stand behind that bench every night? I'm sorry. I know they've got to rebuild. I know they got to retool. I'm not buying that he's going to stand behind that bench that long and put up with losses. He wants to win.
Let's go down to the Air Canada Center now, where Elliot Friedman is standing by, no doubt chomping at the bit, ready to hear this press conference. Elliot, what you got?
Well, there's no question that there's a lot of excitement here down by the building. As even just parking your car and walking into the building, there were a number of Leaf fans outside who could barely contain their excitement. They're excited for this day. They're excited to see what could happen. Just a couple of things adding to what you guys had talked about. Nick and Damien were talking about the future of the general manager and whether or not that GM is going to be there after the draft. If that is the case, I think that probably means, guys, that there's a guy that they are interested in who may not be allowed to leave his current team until after the draft. And that would probably be somebody like Mike Fiuta from the LA Kings, because there is a belief, and Fiuta is on everybody's list, of the short list of people who's got a chance for this job. There is a belief that the Kings would say, if you want to leave, you have to do the draft first. So that may be a reason that Toronto might not fill the position. You know, Jeff Gordon, we don't even know if the Rangers are going to grant permission. They're still playing. Historically, they don't. And even if they finish playing, there's a belief that he might be ultimately the replacement for Glenn Sather. Julien Brisebois, he doesn't want to talk while the Lightning are still in the playoffs, but there's a belief that he doesn't want to leave Tampa right now, and he's told other teams that. So it may be more of a decision of necessity as opposed to a vacuum where they sit there and say, we may not hire a GM until after the draft is done. You know, as for Babcock, Babcock, this is going to be an interesting day. I think a lot of what you guys are talking about is what people want to know. Does this change the timeline? The night of the draft lottery, before it had even been held, Brendan Shanahan said, even if the Maple Leafs get Connor McDavid, this is still a long process. So I think that's the thing everybody kind of wants to know. What does this mean for the process? Does this mean that certain players are still on the trade block? Does he want to keep them and say, I want to see them play for me for a little bit of time before I make my decision? And I think those are all the kinds of questions that people want to hear today. I'm also looking forward to, guys, some members of the Buffalo media are here. I'm very curious to see what the interaction between them and Babcock is going to be.
Just be very careful, Elliot. Mike Zeisberger is hanging around behind you. David?
Elliot,
he's not from Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm told that the seeds of this deal were in Prague. That's when the money was put out. That's when the deal was set out. Do you have any more sense now of how this came together?
I think that they kind of told... I think Shanahan kind of waited. He played it kind of in a smart way, like the stalking horse kind of way. He kind of waited. He figured out what was out there. I think he had a sense of what the market was going to be. And he basically went in there and said, you know what? We are going to be there, and we are going to try to find a way to get this done. How can we get this done? Well, the real sense I've had just around here, Damian, is that the Maple Leafs believe that we were all wrong, that those of us who were saying that Toronto wasn't going to get them, they were looking at this and saying, one guy said to me yesterday, how could you guys all be so wrong? We felt we were in it.
A lot of people, Elliot, question whether or not Babcock could handle this process on his own. He didn't have an agent, and when it was all said and done, I think all of us would like to hire him as our next agent, because he knew that he always had the Leafs in the back of his pocket with an open check, and he played everybody out before he made that decision.
I think one of the reasons why a lot of people were wrong is because a lot of people believed that it would really come down to more than just Buffalo and Toronto. That's what caught a lot of people off. Like, we're here in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, San Jose, St. Louis. And at the end of the day, it came down only to these two teams prepared to give that kind of money and that kind of term.
And had the availability.
Elliot, why do you think Babcock took this job? What's the most intriguing reason why that you can come up with why he chose Toronto?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. You know, we're going to find out why, but obviously he preferred it over Buffalo. It was Toronto over Buffalo in his mind. And I think a lot of it is, you know, he's, as you said earlier, guys, he's won everywhere he's been. And he does not run away from challenges. I think, for example, if the NHL went back to the Olympics and, you know, they were still looking for a coach, I think he'd want the challenge of doing that again. Could he win it a third time? He really believes in that. He likes to be tested. He likes to test other people. Life is a challenge for him. Can I accomplish this? His father was a lot like that, and he is a lot like that. And I think he looks at this challenge of, you know, nobody's won here in almost 50 years. Maybe I can be that guy. Or never mind, maybe I can be that guy. I can be that guy. And, you know, I think we all know that the person who finally wins it here is going to be, you know, the accolades that person is going to get are going to be off the charts. And I think I think you guys are right. When Edmonton decided to go for Todd McClellan, the market really changed. And he looked at this as the best available opportunity financially, for family, and for the risk-reward that it brings.
Or, Elliot, maybe it's just the fact that he thought there'd be more time to golf in the spring. Pre-Babcock joke. Those jokes are over now, Leaf fans.
All your conversation about wanting to win really bad. That's how, when you want to win as bad as Babcock does, what can he put up with here?
But
how
here's
long
the thing. Maybe
can he lose?
Now, the cynic would look at it and say, right, that the reason no one thought he was going to come here is because he can't win here. But then the other point of view is maybe he's looking at this roster and thinking maybe this team isn't as bad.
Right.
Babcock was with Dion Phaneuf coming to his team last year, and now he's got him as a captain.
That's also very dangerous, too, because Brendan Shanahan spent the whole season saying, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to evaluate this. Now, if Babcock comes in and says, no, clean slate, bring everybody back to training camp, and let's start this over, you run the risk of setting it back a year. And well, that's not necessarily a good thing for the organization.
Unless he can change the players. Unless he can change these guys to be real players.
And what happens if he can't? What happens if he can't?
Well, I think I would put my money on Babcock. I would put my money on Babcock.
One of the things I think Brendan Shanahan was not comfortable with was just bringing in a coach for 2 or 3 years. Because he's got young players. He wants those young players to have an excellent coach. Morgan Riley, Nazem Kadri, Jake Gardner. He wants them to have an excellent coach. I also think that Mark Hunter's presence in this organization and reputation as a guy who can go get talent was a part of what made Mike Babcock feel comfortable. One other quick note, by the way. The Leafs will owe a third-round pick to the Detroit Red Wings. It will not be this year. They have 2 first-round picks, no second, so they want to keep that third.
And to build on what you were saying about stability, I mean, the term of this deal is something that's going to put Mike Babcock in a good position to develop some of these players. Mm-hmm. There are people out there who will talk about the money, and we've talked about what an incredible deal this is for him and for coaches down the road who ought to be very excited. Like, if Joel Quenneville becomes available, this guy's actually won a couple of cups recently. Mm-hmm. What can he get from it? One of the greatest players, if not the greatest player of all time, Wayne Gretzky, weighed in on this deal.
We have to understand the importance and the imperative of what a coach brings to the table. Is he worth what the best player in your team makes? Obviously, in this case, the Toronto Maple Leafs feel that they need to get a coach of that caliber that is worth as much as probably their highest paid players make. And that's just the way it's going to be in sports. It's always been like that, and it's never going to change.
All right, so take a look at this now. So Mike Babcock, 6.25, although I think the first 3 years is a little bit higher than that. Quenneville, of course, at 2.7. Wow, Quenville's looking at this deal saying, maybe I am going to be making myself available. Claude Julien may be available, whether he likes it or not. And Daryl Sutter as well. There's the benchmark for the highest paid coaches in the NHL. A couple of those combined.
It's getting out of hand.
Don't make it.
It's getting out of hand. This means, folks, for you, higher ticket prices. Look for the owners to lock out coaches in a few years.
The owners of this.
I'm sitting this morning thinking.
Coaches lockout.
$24 million to get rid of Clarkson.
Right. Yeah.
$50 million here, plus the Carlisle, plus the other guys.
Keep going.
I'm thinking that $75 million was $10 million more than my budget was.
And the players are going to get rid of because you know how Mike Babcock is great at evaluating players, and he's pretty darn harsh behind the scenes when he does that.
I know, Kelly, you and I agree on this in that I generally don't like the argument, well, he just took the money. Because if it was just, first of all, what's wrong taking the money?
What's wrong with that?
But also, if he just took the money.
It ends there for me.
Right. He would go to a market where there's no pressure. Yeah. I mean, like, this isn't just a money run. This, I think, is to what Elliot said. He wants to win in a city like Toronto.
He does, but I get angry when I hear questions like, just for the money. Yeah. All of us would do it for the money.
Sure. Well, and isn't part of this, and Nick and Doug, I know you guys really were focused on this at the end of the season. It was such a terrible Leaf season. People weren't showing up to the games. Maybe fewer number of eyeballs watching the games, listening to the games.
That's
part
why.
Of this has to be an investment to make money.
Well,
you
right.
spend $50 million sure. to make sure those people keep
Think
buying
about,
tickets, keep watching the games,
and
keep listening to the games,
it's
keep
hope.
Buying the
it's
merchandise.
Selling hope is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
There was zero credibility with this franchise from Christmas till now. Zero credibility. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Brendan Shanahan's come in. He's had a limited amount of time to do what he wants to. I get all
right.
that. But zero credibility in the league with the fan base. And today,
one signing changes
that changed.
It really
that changed
does.
Today.
Sponsors, they weren't happy.
Right.
National rights holders, regional rights, you name it. Everybody knows that a better team in Toronto means it's better for everybody. And this is the closest you can fix things without actually going and trading a player or signing him in the with UFA.
Almost,
this is the closest guy that could influence games without stepping on the
I'm
ice.
I'm almost as excited today as the day Brian Burke came here and talked about the parade. I'm almost as excited.
It's not
Isn't
dissimilar.
That
it's not dissimilar
not
from
Lewicki
that.
So much. More Burke.
In fact, the media also plays a good role in this. And the media, us, is really the connection often from the fan to what's happening. Here are some of the headlines today. Wayne Gretzky, Don Cherry gave the thumbs up. Although I remember on Coaches Corey, Don Cherry told Mike not to take this job. But anyway, things changed. So there you go right there. And the big risk, massive reward. But you can see that people are taking a look at this like this is bigger than just the average hiring of a coach, isn't it?
That, you know, that, it is, but I just wonder how that sort of, all that attention, how it chips away at a person. I mean, you guys live here, Nick. You've been a part of it. You played with the Leafs, and I just can't imagine, I can't fathom how you can't open a newspaper here.
Kelly, here's his biggest challenge, is that today and in the near future, he's the biggest star the Leafs have, and he doesn't play. The question is, how long does that go until he can produce bigger stars actually on the ice? Because that attention comes with the, that pressure that you're talking about. And that's not necessarily a good thing either.
The other biggest challenge he has is he doesn't have Ken Holland and Håkan Andersson, their European scout. So it's going to be real interesting to see how the group changes and can they build that foundation that they desperately need to bring in quality players and develop quality players, and that's all the organization below them.
Well, and you can see that this is what Brendan Shanahan is doing, and that's why it isn't going to be a conventional setup where the GM gets to hire the coach. Brendan Shanahan said to me once that he comes from an organization where people had a certain level of discomfort. They didn't have all their buddies around them, and he thinks that's what helps build a winning culture. We know that the fans have their own point of view on what this could mean, not just what he means for the lineup and the ice and the wins and losses and what it means for the money that he's getting, but also the term. Sophia, you're what's happening out there with Mike online?
A lot, George. There's been a huge buzz on social media, but we were taking a look at what people were talking about. And as you guys mentioned, one thing was the money and how much he's going to be making. We heard from Wayne Gretzky, the general consensus is that if he can get the job done, it's worth every penny. Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette actually had a funny tweet saying, I got to get into this coaching thing because of the amount of money. Now, what other people have been talking about is the length of the contract. Someone, a fan asked, has anyone ever coached Toronto, the Toronto Maple Leafs for 8 years ever? And the answer is yes. There have been three coaches who have coached consecutively for 8 years. Dick Irvin, Hap Day, and Punch Imlach did it the last time. The last coach who had done it was from 1958-59 to 1969, but that was a whole 46 years ago, so it's been a while since that happened, and fans are hopeful that Mike can succeed and get the job done and be the next guy to do it for 8 full years.
It's just because the kids' attention span these days are different, that's all. So if no one wants to actually spend 8 years in one game. You know, it's funny because one of the things Ken Holland said yesterday was that he didn't want to offer Mike Babcock and couldn't offer him more than a 5-year deal because he said when he'd been in a market that long, 10 years, 15 years is probably way higher than what people expect on the cap. But, of course, this is about winning. And this, at least that's what Mike Babcock said. This was about winning. And here's his opinion on that.
Mike Babcock, 2008. Stanley Cup champion.
There's a Stanley Cup coming tonight, folks.
The Stanley Cup is something you grow up if you're a hockey player thinking about winning. You don't think about winning as a coach, you think about winning as a player. Well, you play road hockey, whether it would be in Leaf Rapids, Manitoba when I was a kid, and you're always winning the Stanley Cup. To actually get to do it, to share that with your family is spectacular. And the trophy that your name goes on for the rest of your life, it's a great way to say thanks to your community, to your family, to the people that helped you along the way. And it's a special, special, special time. And when you look at it, you have lots of fond memories. When you think about the rings in itself, I guess it's just a symbol that you've done it. But to me, when you've won it, you've won it. You know it. They can't take it away from you. And you have it forever. This is about the process you went through to get it done. That's where the fun is. So these rings are all about stories. And when you win together, you walk together forever. You remember those people forever.
Triple Gold Club, your World Championships, your Stanley Cup, your Olympic Gold, a couple of those, and a World Juniors as well. As Doug McLean said, and everybody's talked about, Mike Babcock is a winner and is used to winning, and he's going to have to bring some of the culture here, and it won't happen right away. Now, how about on the other side? I know the Buffalo Sabres are steaming about this, and there's probably a few other people who thought maybe they had an inside run at this job before the Mike Babcock thing happened. But, Nick, what about the Detroit Red Wings' perspective?
Listen, we've got a ton of respect for that organization. We got a ton of respect for Ken Holland. But he didn't stay in Detroit because they didn't have the money or they didn't want to go past 5 years. They didn't sign him because they didn't feel like they needed him as badly as Toronto, or they didn't want him as badly to stay in Detroit. The Ilitches have spent tens of millions of dollars investing in Detroit Red Wings in the past. We know that they have no problem stroking $100 million checks for Detroit Tigers. If they really wanted to keep Babcock, they would have kept him, I
now,
assure you.
Well, there's a lot of question marks about who will be the general manager of this. We've talked about how this will be a non-traditional, this is more of a football, actually, reality in a way, isn't it? But what about the possibilities?
I think similar to what they're doing in Colorado. We've got Joe Sakic, you've got Greg Sherman still there, you got Patrick Waugh as the head coach with a lot of power. So they've got to find somebody who can now fit into this slot. We know Mike Fiuto of the LA Kings, he's the guy they're talking about. Julian Brisebois, Elliott's talked about him, that he may not be looking to leave the Tampa Bay Lightning. Jeff Gorton, the New York Rangers, not giving him any permission at this point to talk to any other teams. He might be a candidate. And George McPhee's another one. But if all of these ones, George McPhee, the former GM of Washington, if they all don't work out and they can't find a fit and they go to the draft without Mark, without a GM, Mark Hunter could end up becoming a candidate.
The one critical thing in the search for a GM for me is they better find a guy that Mike Babcock respects.
Have you...
Because that is going to be a key factor in this whole process, the respect between him and the GM.
You think they signed that guy without giving him some idea who the general manager might be?
I don't think they know yet, Elliot.
Whether they do or
Nick,
not.
I don't think I'm not saying that they know who their
but
guy
Babcock's
is.
But Babcock's better respect
to I think they know exactly how Mike feels about the next general manager.
Totally. How's your relationship with Mike Babcock and Brendan Shanahan? Have you made the call yet?
I would say with what I've said on the air the last year, not that good.
Let's go. We expect about 5 minutes or so from
which I'm
now,
fine with, by the way.
The press conference to start at the Air Canada Centre in Toronto. Elliot Friedman is standing by there. Let's swoop into his heart and mind, Friedge.
Well, tell Doug I'll float his name in my blog. I'll see if that helps him a little bit in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
One thing about about the coaches' salaries. You guys showed a board a couple minutes ago about coaches' salaries. I think you can add Todd McClellan's name into there. It's believed that McClellan's new average salary in Edmonton is $3 million per year. So as Babcock really lifts the bar up, McClellan moved it a little bit too. I'm not 100% certain about the terms. It's believed it's 5 years at $3 million per, but it is believed the AAV is at three. So as Babcock takes things really to a new level, even McClellan moved them too when he joined the Oilers. So we are seeing the salaries for coaches continuing to move up. You know, I just think that as we come here and we sit here and Mike Babcock is already in the building, the Maple Leafs have put the video of it on their Twitter feed. I think it's going to be really interesting to see exactly what this means for the process of the next few years. We were expecting a massive teardown, a start over for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I think, guys, the question is going to be, now what's going to happen? Are they going to sit and wait and see how some of these players play under Babcock, or does it still mean that they follow through with their plan? George?
Thanks, Elliot. That's something we want to stay with now, the idea of, so let's say Mike Babcock looks at this lineup, to your point, Nick, earlier, and says, okay, let's see what we have here. What is this lineup like under Babcock? Because under Carlisle, this was a team in the playoffs.
Look, I said it yesterday. I've talked to some GMs that have told me, Doug, they've got some pretty good players in Toronto. They just have a really bad team. Babcock is a guy that could help fix that. Players will play differently under Babcock. I'm telling you,
yeah,
and I trust that he'll get a lot more out of it.
You could sit there and say, okay, Morgan Riley, Damon said Kadri.
Jake Gardner.
That's not the issue. Let's face it. The issue is Kessel and Phaneuf. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
and whether or not
they
get a mulligan, do they get the do-over here, or do they continue to try to find alternatives for them to move on?
I'm telling you.
That's what it's going to come down to.
If I'm Babcock and I've got a 35-goal score on my team, he's not dumb. He knows how few of those guys are out there and how hard they are to find.
Shanahan as well.
You don't just discard them. You've got to know for sure that you're going to go buy them. And I agree with what you're saying, Nick, that it's... But can Kessel flourish under this
guy? It may happen. It's easy. He has credibility, Babcock, because he says, look, I had Datsyuk and Zetterberg.
So did Randy.
Yeah, I'm just talking about two specific players, Doug. Mm-hmm. And he had those guys that they were complete 200-foot players.
Right.
So he can easily go into Kessel and say, listen, I love you for that ability. You were one of the unique guys that can score. But look at these two guys and look how complete of players they were.
And he helped turn them into those complete players.
Yeah. And the Leafs did have a deal with Detroit to move Dion Phaneuf. They will revisit that. Peter Chiarelli's now in Edmonton. He had interest in him. They know they can trade Phil Kessel. I think it's whether they bring them back, but ultimately these are assets that they can do something
it's
with,
not,
whether they choose to keep them.
It's not a talent issue.
Them.
It's not a question not. Whether you can throw score 35 goals. The question is, guys, can now Babcock go back to Shanahan and say, I can change his character? Because that was the number one issue with Kessel. It's not about the goals.
Right.
It's the questionable character.
Look at
can Babcock now go and convince Brendan Shanahan, give me 6 months, I can change this guy?
Look at the captains that Mike Babcock has had, and look at the captain that he has now. Is Dion Phaneuf stay the captain of this team?
No.
No, I can't.
And I don't think it's healthy for Dion anyways, because this is such a market that is, again, his game is not where it needs to be. And I think he just needs to relax. And that is one thing. I want to bring that up too. About the Detroit franchise, Nick, you were talking about what they can do and how much money they spend. But the thing inside the scenes when, you know, I do playoff games with Detroit in the arena and stuff, the thing that always strikes me about them, how calm and relaxed they make the players feel, right? It's a firestorm outside, but in that dressing room, they're calm and relaxed.
How many times have we said over the last 5-10 years, well, what about Hemsky? Well, his character, skill. How would he be in Detroit? Oh, he'd be a different player in Detroit.
He sure would be.
Why would he be a different player in Detroit? Because of what we've talked about all around this table, because of the culture, because of the way they operate, the type of business
and
they
Phaneuf could have thrived in Detroit.
Right.
Right. So without that type of pressure.
Here. That's got to start to happen here.
You've played, Nick, on teams that have had great culture. You as well, Kelly.
Yeah.
How hard is it to take a situation that isn't great and turn it into a place with good culture?
Well, I can tell you, it's for me, it starts from the very top.
Right. It really
it
does.
Starts,
that's where it starts.
And that's where you're okay. Brendan Shanahan comes in with his reputation of being a winner. Well, he just added another guy that has equal value in that. And then you create this, and you try to attract more people from a managerial point of view, and then on the ice.
I've seen it happen here in Toronto. In the early 90s, when Cliff Fletcher came here, before he did, the culture was awful. That was the end of the Harold Ballard years. They had no talent. They had a terrible culture. He came in, and then he brought in Doug Gilmore and Pat Burns.
One trade from the gods.
And the culture changed, and they became a team that was a challenge to a very good Los Angeles Kings team.
They ended up losing to your team.
Yeah.
The interesting thing here is, this is when Babcock went to Detroit, it was an amazing culture in place, a winning culture, winning identity, superstar players. He's come into a situation now that's a lot different, even from when he went into Anaheim. Now, the question is today, Shanahan and Babcock, it's all the same for both of them now. Eventually, it's all about winning.
Right.
And they're on the clock now to win. And I know they have a lot of time, but that's what it eventually comes to.
Now, here's the organizational chart as we look. We know that Tim Leiwicki will be leaving. In fact, yesterday he gave all the credit to Brendan Shanahan and said he was completely out of these conversations, which is not the Leiwicki we knew a year ago.
But he did mention he hired him.
He did mention. Well, but he did. He did. And then, as you can see, the assistant GM's there and the head coach.
You know, when I look at that structure, I think that to where do players look for leadership. And again, it goes right to the top. And my experiences would be one of my favorite managers of all time was Dean Lombardi, simply because he was very honest. So when you had a sit-down meeting with him, it would take 2-3 hours often, and he'd go through, he would go through everything. In fact, my last year as a player, he noticed I played, it was late in March, and he called me into his office the next day and asked me where I thought I was in terms of my play and so on. That day, he told me I should retire. So that's how honest he is, and that's how in tune with the player. If you talk to him a lot, you find out where a player is, and I think that's the importance above Babcock as well.
Did you agree?
You know, it was a relief because I didn't know. I was really struggling, and I was scared to play, and he recognized those signs. In fact, that's the word he used when he described me. He said, you look scared to play.
You can see the tables and the microphone set up there at the Air Canada Centre with a picture of Mike Babcock beside the maple leaf. I know that logo is still probably really interesting for a lot of fans to adjust to. Where as soon as they take the mic, we will take you there to the press conference where they announce Mike Babcock as the head coach.
Yeah, just to go back to the board, you've got 5 key people in place, right? The only question I have now is, do you want to make it 6? Because a general manager will come in, and I get the fact that he wants to create this committee where everybody has their sense. But, Mac, you've lived it, man. You've lived it. You start adding people in, And sometimes it can create some friction within a group when you have strong personalities. Right now, I can tell you when you look at this board, there's two guys running the Leafs.
Right.
Yep. It's the guy underneath Lewicki, and it's the last name on the bottom.
But Doug, would you want to walk into that situation?
Everybody comes into a supporting group, Mac. Come on.
Yeah, exactly, except for anybody to say they don't want to be the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Looks great on a business card, doesn't it?
It's sure long. It's long. And every hockey general, every hockey man really believes that they can come in to this position, as tough as it might be, as challenging as it might be, that they can make a difference.
I can give you a bit of history.
And that's why there'll be all kinds of people want it.
With the Leaf organization, Ken Dryden came in the late 90s, and he had Bill Waters here. Anders Hedberg was here. Mike Smith was here. And he tried to organize a situation very similar to that board. And it didn't work. Mike Smith and Anders Hedberg clashed. And ultimately, Pat Quinn, and he became the general manager, one person. And now, so they tried this before.
And if you're Mike Babcock now, do you sit there and go, well, there's another guy I got to manage?
But you know what?
Because that's what happens.
Boys, it's going to come down to, at the end of the day, it's going to be very few people that are on the inner sanctum that are really going to be the guys. There's going to be lots of support, lots of analysis, lots of information coming. But the group that makes the big decisions will be very small. And I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this multi-headed monster. I'm sorry. It'll be Shanahan, Babcock, and one other person. Whether it's Mark Hunter or whether it's a GM.
Influential guy in the league organization.
Just keep him then.
You want to have those tools around. We're waiting to hear. We'll see the moment that somebody takes the podium there in Toronto to announce Mike Babcock as the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It is going to be fun if you think about it, right? So in the Western Conference, you're going to get, you know, the great player Connor McDavid with the Edmonton Oilers. There's a nice narrative happening there. The Toronto Maple Leafs, and as much as it pains so many people across Canada, they hate how much coverage the Leafs get. Like this. but it matters because it is a massive market in terms of population. It is an important team. And, you know, before all of these expansion teams came in, the Maple Leafs are, if not the biggest team in Canada, they're the second biggest team. We're tied with the Montreal Canadiens. So buzz matters. It makes it exciting for the next season. I remember when I first met you, Damien, we were working with sports radio station in Toronto when Fletcher and Pat Burns came to Toronto. Can you compare some of the buzz?
I think you can, because Pat Burns, you guys were talking about credibility. Pat Burns, I mean, they'd already got some with Cliff Fletcher, but when Burns came in, it all of a sudden, exactly what you said, a guy who could impact on the ice and who could change the way guys played. And he did. And he did very quickly. That was another era when you could make big trades, where you could do things much more quickly than you are now. But with the young players they do have, plus, you mentioned Connor McDavid, they're going to get a top flight junior player in the draft. They have the fourth pick. So Babcock will have a chance to be as influential short term as Burns was. We'll see whether he can do it.
And buzz does matter. You're right. Because when players see a signing like this, first thing, where do I fit in? Or do I fit in? And then what changes do I have to make? So you have an immediate impact on these guys, even though the regular season is, 4 months away.
Let's get a quick update from
Elliot. And then the buzz, you know, essentially drops when the puck drops, right?
Yeah.
Elliot, give us that wave. Elliot. What do you got for
you? I'm busy saying hello and kissing babies. Sorry about that. You know, I think the kind of thing you talked about, the buzz. Look, at the end of last season, we all saw there were suites that were dark. There were seats that were not being used. You take a look at what Edmonton did in the past couple of weeks. They're opening up a new building. You know, we can all say it's easy to sell hockey in a Canadian city, but that doesn't mean that there's a lot of positive coverage about it. You take a look at all the news that they made in the past couple of weeks with all the things that they've done, including winning the lottery. You know, one of the things I've been talking about with people around the organization the last couple of days was that they needed to do some of that too. It's not always easy to sell yourself when you've been losing for so long. And I think what they look at is they look at the buzz Edmonton got, the rise Edmonton got, and they feel they've created something very similar with what that they have done bringing Mike Babcock to Toronto. So I think sometimes we take a look and say, it's the Maple Leafs, they're a monolith, it's easy to sell, you just open up the gates and people walk in. But this is an organization that has been very concerned about the way the season ended and the effect that that would have on things like private suites. And there's no question that bringing Babcock here today, guys, creates a buzz that they absolutely
absolutely needed. Now, it would just be a lot better if he could just walk in and start the media conference so we could all get to the questions we all have about, you know, what's the next plan? Does this change the way that the organization was going to be built over the next few years?
All right, thank you very much, Elliot.
Yeah.
You're saying that this comparison is kind of like Mike Keenan.
It really is. It, for us, in 94, when we were on our Stanley Cup run, you were part of it indirectly with some information that Keenan
was
essentially...
Where was he going,
St. Louis, Detroit.
And St. Louis.
Detroit and St. Louis.
In the middle of the playoffs, right?
So minus that social media frenzy, here we are in the conference final. And Mike's negotiating to go somewhere else.
That has an impact.
Okay. And that hype, like he was the most sought after coach, right? Mm-hmm. Like enough for...
He just forgot to wait.
Enough for teams
over.
To go and tamper, right? So similar situation. Now, Keenan goes to St. Louis. He's supposed to win. He's got this amazing, impeccable reputation as the
top coach.
Some
pretty good players.
Some pretty good players. It didn't work out that well, but it really kind of falls back down to, you know, their coaches.
You were saying,
you got the buzz, but at the end of the day, they don't play, right? You need the horses.
You said that the first reaction from a player is, how do I fit in?
Yep.
So let's not talk about Phaneuf and Kessel because we've covered them. But who on this Leafs roster in a meaningful position do you think is looking at this and thinking, this is good
Kadri.
For me or bad for me?
I would think he's immediately thinking that it's bad because Babcock is going to push him to do things that he doesn't normally like to do on a consistent basis, and Mike will tell him that, and then he's going to have to find out whether Kadri wants to push through.
Didn't Randy do that, though? Didn't I mean, Randy Carlisle came in with a pretty good reputation.
Sure.
I don't know if it's the hype, but...
Like, he's a good coach.
You know,
but I mean, let's not forget, Babcock was replaced by Randy Carlisle in Anaheim.
And Randy won the cup.
And Randy came in here, it was structure, it was stability, it was this
many,
coach is
many ways the same.
Not the same hoopla.
In thought, but
pretty.
But it didn't translate onto the ice. Like, there was no structure defensively.
No, it didn't.
Just to answer that question, I think the Leaf players who will be excited about this are players who play with skill, who like to possess the puck.
Joffrey
Gardner, Riley. Bozak, maybe, JVR, guys who play with skill because the Red Wings love skill. And
Gardner in that category, that's a stretch
he's a skillful
to me.
Guy.
You know what?
Larry Tannenbaum has taken a seat, so we're not going to go listen to Larry right now, but at some point we're getting closer and closer to this press conference starting.
Babcock talked to a friend of mine one time. He phoned him and said, hey, I'm having trouble getting my team going. I'm really having trouble getting my team going. And it was a junior coach. And Babcock said to them, is your team one of the three hardest working teams in the league? And the coach said, no, I'd have to say we're not one of the three hardest working. Okay, when your team becomes one of the three hardest working teams in the league, phone me back and we'll talk about what we can do to improve your team.
And
that's where it all starts. It doesn't matter if it's Zetterberg, Dadzu, Kadri, Gardner. It's work first.
And
then you go from there.
And there's an image with Babcock, right?
Okay.
Look how fit he is personally. He sends that message to his players.
Here we go, guys. You can see Brendan Shanahan, Steve Keogh as well, is ready to make the first announcement. And Mike Babcock is there as we mark this big moment in Toronto Maple Leafs history. Go ahead, guys.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, and thank you. My name is Steve Keogh. I'm the Director of Media Relations for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'd like to welcome everyone here today, both media, fans, and MLSE staff, as well as our board members. Just a bit of housekeeping today. We'll have first some opening comments from both our gentlemen here to my left. From there, we'll open for questions to the floor. We'll end with a photo op, as well as some interviews. So please wait for the microphone before any of your questions with both Ian and Scott. Without further ado, President Brendan Shanahan.
Thank you all for coming. I would like to start off by thanking Kenny Holland and the Detroit Red Wings for their professionalism and cooperation. Mike and I have a great relationship with them and go way back. I'd also like to thank our board at MLSE for once again showing their commitment to do whatever it takes for this city, the fans, and this team to have every opportunity to win. I'd like to thank our fans for their belief and their continued support. And I'd also like to thank Mike. I know you guys haven't come here to hear me speak. You've come here to hear him speak. Very proud, very happy today. Happy to introduce Mike as the 30th head coach in Toronto Maple Leafs history. Thank you, Mike. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Shani. I, too, would like to thank Ken Holland, Detroit Red Wings, the Ilitch family, for 10 unbelievable years and the opportunity for my family to grow up in one city. Very, very special time. I'd like to thank the board, Larry, Brennan, for this opportunity. I'm thrilled today to be here. I have to tell you, I felt like I was 25 years old, scared to death here this morning, excited about the opportunity, and looking forward to the challenge. This is a great, great city, unbelievable fans, and it's the Maple Leafs, and I'm proud to be here today, and I look forward to the process, the battle, the pain, the fun, the journey, and it's going to be a long one, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We'll start with questions. Darren?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Driggs.
Darren Dreger, TSN. take you back to Friday in Prague. I certainly got the impression that you were leaning towards staying in Detroit as you sat shoulder to shoulder with Kenny Holland, and I think a lot of people felt that. So, simple question, and you've touched on it a little bit, but why the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I think the first thing was is that we went through a long process. I'm very respectful for Mr. Ryan Kenny for giving me that opportunity. But it was also trying to figure out what was the best thing for Mike Babcock and his family and for the next 10 years. And so we just had an unbelievable run for 10 years and enjoyed ourselves. And I always think about what's the message to your kids. And, you know, I said to my wife, we've been chasing our whole life trying to be the best we can possibly be. And maybe it's time for another opportunity. But the opportunity in Detroit and the relationship I have with Ken Holland and the Ilitch family and those players is a very emotional thing, to say the least. And this was a hard decision. And in the end, we went through the process and talked to lots of teams. And can't tell you how much I learned. It was unbelievable. But in the end, we made this decision to come to Toronto. You know, I've had a lot of opportunity to coach Canada's teams and enjoyed that immensely. And whether you believe it or not, I believe this is Canada's team, and we need to put Canada's team back on the map.
Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News, you've talked about the process here. Obviously, the Sabres were heavily involved in the process. They believe they had a deal with you until they were called yesterday at 11:30 a.m. and were told otherwise. What's your response to the notion that you simply leveraged the Sabres to get a better deal with the Leafs? And secondly, there's plenty of speculation. You had a lot of concern with some of the layers of their management, perhaps how the relationship control with Tim Murray would go compared to Brendan. How do you compare the decision to come to the Leafs in terms of management compared to why you did not come to Buffalo?
Well, the first thing is, you know, I talk to lots of teams, and when you're talking to teams, negotiation is in that process. And the hardest thing for the media to do was to figure out where I was going, because I had no idea where I was going. And the reason it was because it was a hard decision. And we changed our mind and our family. We went back and forth, not changed our mind, but we went back and forth so many times trying to figure out what the right thing to do was. And if you think Terry Pegula isn't a star, you're mistaken. Or that Mike Babcock and Tim Murray didn't have a great relationship, that's wrong too. In the end, I wanted to coach the Maple Leafs, and my family, this was the best fit for my family. So you put the two together, that's what happened.
Michael?
Michael Grange from Sportsnet. Mike, your record, it speaks for itself. What is it going to be like for you to be behind a bench of a team that would be a big surprise, I think, to make the playoffs in the next 2 or 3 years? What is that going to be like for you?
Well, I never came here to make the playoffs. I came here to be involved in a cup process, and that goes from scouting, from drafting, from development, from analytics, from putting an off-ice team together, an on-ice team together. So I love to win. I have a burning desire to win. But I also want to win in the end. I don't want to just get in the playoffs. I want to win. I want to be here with these guys. We want to build a team off the ice and on the ice that the fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs can be proud of. We have to create an environment that's safe for players. And what I mean by that is when you win every day, it becomes pretty safe for the players. Right now, it's a hard spot. It's tough. We're going to change that, but it's going to take time. As a coach, you're in the day-to-day winning business. You understand it. I've been in a long time. On game day, I'll be short-sighted for sure, but I got a big picture in mind. So does Shanny. So does Larry. So do the people on our staff, and that's where we're going. But if you think there is no pain coming, there's pain coming.
Rosie.
This is Sportsnet 590, the fans' live coverage of a breaking sports event. Mike Babcock, the new head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And just mentioned it, I don't know if you were joshing, whatever. And also in the larger picture, what were your anxieties, if you had any, about coming here?
Well, fear, I think, is a great thing. Some people wouldn't, but, you know, I tell this story lots. In 1997, I was bear hunting. I got the call, and they said, you're going to coach the World Junior team. And right away, I thought, oh, my God, they just won four or five in a row. What did I get myself into? When Steve Yzerman had me in his office and sat me down and said, Mike, you're going to coach the 2010 Olympic team. When I got to my truck, I thought, I'm scared to death. What did I get myself into? In 2014, the same thing. I meant that was exhilarating. It's about being alive, I think. And at 52, I'm not ready to die. I want to get on with it here. And so what I tried to tell you earlier was that, to me, that's the message to my children. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. It's about trying to maximize your potential, squeeze every ounce out of yourself. It's about trying to get better. I think that's the process. When I talked to Shanny, that's what I heard. I heard we were going to be in a process. What I like about what the board has done here is they've made a commitment. They've made a long-term commitment. And in turn, I've made a long-term commitment to the Leafs. And our plan is to grow the team.
Mike?
Mike Brophy, NHL.com. Last year when the ship started to sink here, it seemed like the leadership group were the first ones to bail. I'm wondering what your expectations are for a leadership group.
Well, I've been real fortunate to have great leaders. You know, I've been around great, great people, Stevie and Nick Lidstrom, and then our group there in Detroit. Datsuk and Zetterberg and Cromwell, to be honest with you, they've packed me around for 10 years, those guys, and so I'm forever indebted to those guys. We have good people here. We're going to acquire good people, and we're going to make them better. And, you know, I'm a school teacher. That's what I am, real simply. And I believe your job is to make people around you better. I'm real proud of the fact over the 10 years that I was in Detroit, we helped players get better. I think we got five coaches, if not now, that right away, shortly, five head coaches in the National Hockey League. We got Stevie and Jimmy Neal running teams. We got people all over. You develop people, and you develop leadership. But what we are going to be is we're going to be men. We're going to be straight up and honest, and we're going to take responsibility for how hard we play. Now, that doesn't mean I guarantee you success every night, but we're going to be responsible for what we do and how we play, and we're going to have good people here. You don't win without good people. We're going to have good people.
Mike, Simon Dingley from CBC National TV News. Congratulations. Welcome to Toronto. This may be a question actually for Brendan as well. You broke the bank with this contract. How can any coach, you know, justify and earn this kind of a contract?
Well, I'd like to answer that question, Shanny.
Go ahead.
To me, it's real simple. Is the contract is simply a commitment from the Maple Leafs to success. They've made a long-term commitment to me, so I understand totally they're committed to the process. That, to me, what it's all about. I don't know if my truck will fit here, but normally I drive a Ford 150, and I'll still be driving one. I don't know if you can get it around. It was hard to get down here today, so we'll see.
Ken Campbell.
Mike, Ken Campbell from the Hockey News. Is there anything in your contract, Mike, that stipulates that you have any say in player personnel decisions? And are you prepared to see this rebuilding process through in terms of being patient with, you know, the first couple of years, maybe not having the success that you're used to having?
I'm totally committed to that. I have nothing in my contract about that. Hudson, Dubes, and Shanny and the group were committed to doing this. We understand what the process is and what you're going to have to do to make it happen. And Mark Hunter is a guy I have an absolute ton of respect for, have for a long, long time. He gets players. The only way you can get players is by having draft picks. We have to get them draft picks.
I'll jump in there, too. Whether, in my view, whoever our head coach was going to be, I want his input. And I don't think that's a unique situation. Did Mike need it in his contract? No. In all of our conversations, do we want Mike to have his fingerprints and his input? Absolutely. And I think that that's not an unusual situation for any NHL team. It's a collaborative effort. We all have to communicate.
Bruce
Arthur from the Toronto Star. Mike, what's the most patience you've ever had to display in a losing situation? And how did you deal with that?
Well, I don't know if I did. won 19 games in Spokane 1 year and won the league the next year. That's a long, long time ago. You know, this is what I do know is I've coached a long, long time, and I worked for an owner and a general manager in Spokane, Washington, Tim Speltz and Bobby Brett, and they helped me along the way. And we found a way to win on a continual basis. And Brian Murray got me the National Hockey League, I understand that. But Ken Holland, we just went through a 10-year run. And you make hard decisions along the way, and you do what's right for the organization. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, I have a burning desire to win. But I also know what you're trying to do. And I know where we're trying to go, and I understand how long the process is going to be. And you know, one of the guys on the board said the other day, he said, you know, when you acquire these companies, it usually takes twice as long and twice as hard as you think. I believe that.
This is Sportsnet 590, the Fan's live coverage of a breaking sports event. Mike Babcock is the new head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Larry, I didn't get a chance to ask you this yesterday's press conference because of all the fuss about Mike. But I was just wondering, given the size and record-setting nature of this contract, if you weren't going to maximize it and have him help out with the Argos in his summers.
Okay, let's move on.
Next question.
We're going to keep Mike pretty busy.
Mike, Adam Bonini, WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, right here. And just as a follow to Mike Harrington's question, I have been told, and it has been reported, that you had agreed with the Sabres both in terms of money and term, that you had told them essentially that you were coming there, that you essentially lied to them in this process and wound up using them as nothing but leverage. I'm interested in your response specifically to that.
Well, that lying word's an interesting word for me. Is, you know, I've been in the public eye for a long, long time. I don't think that goes anywhere near who I am or what I'm about. I've been real straightforward and honest in the process with all the teams I talk to and with my ownership. You know, I'll even say this is I worked for 6 years in Spokane, Washington. I just worked for 10 years in Detroit. As a head coach, you don't work long places for a long time unless you have good relationships and you treat people right. So that would be the end of that for me. No. Did we work on financial stuff in term? Absolutely.
Steve.
Mike, Steve Buffery from the Toronto Sun. A lot of people question how much depth this organization has in terms of player personnel with the Leafs and in the farm system. How much did your decision to come to Toronto, how much was that based on your faith in Shanahan to start acquiring assets and start turning this organization around as far as personnel is concerned?
Yeah, for sure. In the leadership group fights, no question, that was part of the process. But we understand where we're at, too. I just saw the farm team play. They were playing Grand Rapids not that long ago. You know, I did a thorough study of all the teams in the National Hockey League that I met with.
Mike Drolet with Global News. You just came from Hockey Town, but I think we can all agree this is something else. I'm not sure if you're aware, but every second from the time you landed this morning at the airport to here was essentially documented. Your predecessor got annoyed with this. How do you think you're going to handle this constant magnifying glass, the hype here?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I don't think you can know until you live it every single day. What I enjoy about today and what's going on here is it's obvious people care. You want to be in an environment where people care. And this fan base here, in my opinion, really cares about the Leafs, and they want us to be good. And they understand that we're going to be in a long process here to get them to where they want to go. So I embrace this opportunity of coaching the Maple Leafs. I mean, I came here with my eyes wide open. I understand totally what's going on. I went through like a process for I don't know how many days to try to figure this out. And in the end, I've made the right decision and excited about it.
Brendan, you have your coach now. I'm wondering what's next on the agenda in terms of your front office and also the on-ice product.
Next is just really meeting more with Mike and getting a plan. I think that as much as we've talked, we have a lot more to talk about. For me, I'm still interested in pursuing a general manager if a general manager fits. But for now, I think in the immediate days, it's about Mike getting to know our organization from top to bottom. I mean, once we had made the decision, Mike was already on the go, looking for things, looking into things, and starting to plan.
Back. Hi, Mr. Babcock, Charles Siagro. I work with our local news for CBC here in Toronto. You said it from the very beginning of this process. You've reiterated it a number of times today that your family was key in making this decision. I understand Mrs. Babcock is here today. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about coming to Toronto, if there was something other than hockey that perhaps drew you to this city.
It's a fantastic city. It's an incredible city. We're going to be empty nesters here right away. Our youngest one's in her last day of high school today, and my kids are all going to different parts of the country, and so we're starting a new life too. Living downtown Toronto, I think, is an exciting thing for us. It's something that fit with us. When you've been married and your partner is your best friend, like I have for as long as I have been, and that's the most important thing in your life, you got to make sure that works. And that was a big part of the decision we made here today.
Terry.
Mike, Terry Cochan of the Toronto Sun. This leadership group on this team has been through failure after failure the past four seasons. Obviously, you've noticed it from afar. You've coached against it. Is there an overhaul needed of that group for this team to move forward? Do you think you can work with, would you like to work with, the Dion Phaneufs and Phil Kessels of the world? Or do these guys need to be shipped out and start with, you need to start with a clean slate here?
Well, that's a real good question. But what I always have done over the years is when we're evaluating the other team and what the other coach does, we always say to ourselves, he knows them better than we do. So there's lots of people that have come here before. I'm not naive. Really good men and really good coaches and good people, and it hasn't gone as well as they had hoped. This is going to be a long process. I've said it to you right from the get-go. Won't back off that. It's going to take time. I'm excited like you can't believe for that opportunity. I really am. This is going to be a massive, massive challenge. And I'm going to get to know these guys, the guys that are on the team at training camp, and we're going to grow together. We're going to have good people on this team. We're going to have men on this team. We're going to have people that are accountable. That's just the reality of the situation, and that's how you win in the end, and that's what we're going to do.
Ken.
I have a question, but first I wanted Brendan to clarify something that you said a few minutes ago about the front office structure. I think you said something like you're going to search for a GM if it works. I'm just wondering what your vision of the whole sort of front office is. Does that include a GM? Is there a possibility that you may be the de facto GM, or, you know, how is that going to look?
Well, like I said, at the end of the season, I won't rule anything out at this point. But for me, what's most important is finding the right fit. Now, I think that there are some options out there. I felt at the time that it was more pressing to focus on the coaching situation. We were involved from the get-go with Mike. My attention has been on that. I've had some conversations with some potential people. But my process, my plan hasn't really changed from the end of the season. It's about finding the right people. I'm not as concerned about the timing. I think that we're in real good shape for the draft. If we find the right guy, we'll move on the right guy.
Mr. Babcock, Heather Wright with CTV Toronto Local News. Just wondering, you said you're going to live here in downtown Toronto. Is there a first thing you guys plan to do as you set down roots in your new city?
Well, we haven't really spent a whole lot of time talking about that. I phoned a buddy of mine to let him know, the guy from Saskatchewan, to let him know that I was taking this position, and he said to me, I don't know if you remember, we were walking from the practice facility back to the hotel a few years ago. I was in town with you, and he said, I told him when the kids left home that my wife and I were going to move to some place where we could live downtown and live in a condo. And so it's a new start for her and I as well, and a different kind of life than we've had, obviously, with the young kids around. And Toronto presents that opportunity for us.
Steve.
Mike, Steve Wino from Canadian Press. You've worked with Ken Holland for the last 10 years. How comfortable do you feel now about working for Brendan, but also working for a general manager who hasn't been hired yet and having to deal with that new relationship and new dynamic?
Well, change is exciting. You know, it's invigorating and gets you going. Now, I have to be honest with you, is Ken Holland he's a great man and a good friend of mine, and it was very emotional. I had to get the Kleenex box out when I sat in his office there because of what he's done for me. And so when I took the leap of faith to go to Detroit, the salary cap had just come in. We went from 72 to 36. I don't even know what the cap was in those days. You took a leap of faith. I knew Ken. I know Shanny. I'm a believer. I was a believer in Ken, and I'm a believer in Shanny. And so now we got to build a relationship over time. And there, you know, in hockey, there's huge, huge emotional successes and huge defeats that just are tough. But through that time, you stay the course, and you keep doing good things, and good things happen. And I believe good things happen to good people, so you surround yourself with them.
We're going to take two more questions. Hugh?
Hugh Burrell, Sportsnet. Quick question for each. First of all, Brendan, just to clarify, you guys are comfortable going into the draft without a general manager? And for Mike, as you look around this room and you see all the cameras and reporters and photogs, does any of this seem just a little bit surreal right now?
I think throughout the year, Mark Hunter has been planning our draft. I think that, again, and even piggybacking on the last question about people, when Mike and I first met, it was the very first conversation we had after we got permission from Detroit was a very difficult one for me because it wasn't actually a sales pitch in a way. It was a very truthful conversation. Mike asked hard questions, and I didn't lie. I told him the truth. I got off the phone. I wondered whether I had just made a huge mistake. From the beginning, I've outlined our vision. Very early in the process, we outlined what we were prepared to do financially. Very early in the process. We met again in Prague, and I reiterated again. Nothing changed. I just kept hitting Mike with the same thing, what our vision was here, what anyone who is coming in here needs to expect and should expect. Mike's concern, or Mike's questions for me were really not pushing back against the build and the vision. It was what we've talked about here for a year is, do we have the ability as a city, as an organization, to stick to it through the hard times? So Mike coming here was really about making sure that we're not speeding up the process. Are we going to stick to the process? So there was no last-minute change or no last-minute swooping in with a new idea or a new pitch or a new financial pitch. It was really me just hammering the same thing back to Mike, which was brutal honesty. And we wanted Mike to be a coach and a builder. And at the end of the day, when it's sort of funny, the teams that sort of probably got pushed out early on don't get their feelings hurt as bad. And the teams that Mike liked the most, inevitably, are going to walk away with the most hurt feelings. At the end of the day, when it was down to one or two teams, and if it wasn't us, we probably wouldn't be saying, yeah, but we were down to the final two. We'd probably be upset as well. But I saw in Mike's eyes in Prague, and I've been through it a couple times in my career, it is a hard, excruciating, difficult decision to make because you're making it not just for yourself but for your family. So our focus on Mike, again, was consistent from day one to Prague, and then we left it at that. Mike had his process. Mike came back to us. And what he agreed to do was not some last-minute, last-hour pitch. What Mike bought into here in Toronto was what we talked about the first time we spoke.
I'd like to follow up on that, too, is that, you know, when I talked to Larry George and Guy about the process here, one of my questions was to them was real clear. Are you willing to stick to it? Are we in it together? When it's going, when it's hard, when it's really hard, are you going to be in it? Are you for sure? And once I got that commitment, it was different. But just like Shani said, you know, it's interesting. When I sat with Larry and Shani the first night, they made me the offer that night. Nothing changed from that night till the end. When I came back to them in the end, though, we had been through a long process. And, you know, you go to bed one night, and, you know, I didn't sleep much for a long time here, to be honest with you. And you go over and over these decisions. These are hard decisions. But I want to reiterate how thrilled I am here today. I'm absolutely thrilled and excited, proud to be the coach of the Maple Leafs, excited to live in Toronto, excited to bring my family here. I understand how hard it's going to be. You say one of your questions was about all the media. They love this team here. You wouldn't have all these people unless there was love for the franchise. Now we have to make it safe for players here. And the way you do that is by building a good enough team that they feel safe and that they're in it together. And we're going to do that here. It's going to take time, but we're going to do it here. We're excited to do it.
One last question with Greg.
Mike, Greg Brady, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I was in the room at Joe Louis Arena when you did this 10 years ago. You don't look any older. It's weird.
I got to jump in there. My wife said to me this morning, she said, I think there's more gray in your sideburns since last night, so I don't know if that's true.
All of us. You've had three great captains in Detroit, Steve Yzerman, Nick Lidstrom, Henrik Zetterberg. They're probably all Hall of Famers. One already is. Two already are, I should say. Two are going to be. You inherit Dion Phaneuf here. You know him well from junior. He's been at Canada evaluation camps. Some say he was almost a Red Wing in March. What is your observation of him, what he needs to do? What are your expectations as a coach from your captain in a scenario like this where competing for a Stanley Cup, like it was in Detroit, isn't going to happen quite immediately?
No question about that. In saying that, I'm going to get to know Dion, and he's going to get to know me. And, you know, I like to think I'm a straightforward communicator. When you work for people and they tell you what you want, I'm one of those people, I like to please them. But I like to know what they want. I don't want to read their mind. I want them to tell me, and I'll be straightforward in that way as well. But I think you have to help your leaders. I think that's what your job is to help them do things right. And you just do it right day after day after day. I'm a fan of Dion. I think he's a good kid, and I think he works hard and he tries hard. And but for me to comment on players that are here now, that's unfair because I've evaluated them from afar, and that's not to me what a coach does.
Thank you. That ends the formal part of our press conference today. Just to let you know what will take place now, we'll do a photo op, so I'll ask the Still and ENG cameras to come down to the floor here of a photo with Brendan and Mike and then also with Larry and Dale. Following that, we'll have some live interviews for both gentlemen here at the dais, and then we'll do two scrums, a print scrum
and a TV scrum. But please wait for the photo op to be done before you come down. We'll separate print.
And thus concludes the first official press conference with the Toronto Maple Leafs' Mike Babcock and the head coach. A lot of interesting things he said. You can just sort of glean from those stories what could be the headlines tomorrow. There will be pain coming. Maybe if the Raptors are We the North, there will be pain is the slogan for the Toronto Maple Leafs. As a man who drives a pickup truck in downtown Toronto, Mike, I don't know, care how confident you think you are, you will be riding a bicycle before you know it, because that'll be your biggest challenge, trying to drive a truck around here. He said something interesting. You have to create a space that is safe for the players. As players, what does that mean to you?
That's the number one thing that stood out in this press conference. A lot of interesting comments, but that was the thing, and I go back to my comment before they introduced him as coach, that when I've been around the Red Wings, especially in the playoffs, and they've had a lot of pressure cooker moments, that those players are the most calm and relaxed of any team that I've ever been around. So when you put them in that safe environment where they feel protected by the organization, and that usually starts at the top, that they know, the players know, that you will protect them under any circumstance, under any sort of criticism, then they can be, again, in that relaxed state.
Well, for me, what stood out the most was how transparent Brendan Shanahan and Mike Babcock were. And that's not something you usually get with these press conferences. Mm-hmm. It's all talk about winning the Stanley Cup. What did we get? Massive challenge. I think he said massive twice.
Yep.
Massive, massive challenge. Pain coming. I think it's abundantly clear what Brendan Shanahan and Mike Babcock think of this present roster. You talked about possibly giving these guys a chance. Did you get the impression that they were about to give these guys a clean slate? I certainly didn't get it.
I like how he didn't say we're here to win a Stanley Cup. I like how his first line was it's the cup process, which is calling it, as you said, right out. This is going to take time.
Well, it's better than saying there'll be a parade, like Leiwicki said, many other people have said. My question is, who is going to feel the pain? Is it the fans? Is it the players? Is it, you know, who's going to be? I sense it's going to be the players feeling a lot of this pain. So it'll be fun to watch. And yeah, it is a massive challenge.
Players feeling pain. You say, it'll be fun to watch. I can't wait. That's real nice, Matt. Damon.
Is it the media feeling the pain?
Oh, we always feel the pain here. You know what? Similar to a lot of these press conferences I've been to over the past 25 years where somebody new has come in and said, here's what we're going to do. And it doesn't happen. Sometimes it sort of happened with Cliff Fletcher and Pat Burns. I think today what was different was this was about reassuring people. We're not going to jump ahead. We're going to take this slow. Mm-hmm. We understand. We have the support. We're not going to make a Phil Kessel deal and try to accelerate the process. They're going to take it slow. And I think that was a message to the fans. We hear you. We know you want a real rebuilding
situation. We're going to hear directly from Mike Babcock, as Elliot Friedman, who was there at the ACC. You probably saw him looking wonderful and calm in some of those background shots. We'll be having a conversation with him. But how about the sharpening of the knives in that one or so hour drive from Buffalo to Toronto from a couple of those Buffalo reporters who are just ready to stick it in?
Well, okay. Shanahan said it best. If you're that close at the end, you will be hurt.
You know, right.
Buffalo obviously feels a little jilted here. It's true that Mike Babcock did tell them that he thinks he's going to be there. But the one wiggle room, as he alluded to, was his family. Mm-hmm. He has to go back to his family. And until that happens, it's not a done deal. So did he use it as leverage? Absolutely. Is it something that is common in the business world? Yes. I'm sorry, Buffalo. I'm sorry. He took the offer. He went back down the QEW, and he set up at Toronto, and they did.
And, you know, that's it's interesting. A lot of the media in Buffalo took great pleasure out of the fact that Josh George said he wouldn't come to Toronto and would rather play in Buffalo. Well, it works the other way.
It sure does. Yeah. So we're waiting to hear from Mike Babcock directly in conversation with Elliot Friedman. That should happen shortly. But if you're just tuning in now, here are the greatest hits from today's press conference.
You know, I've had a lot of opportunity to coach Canada's teams. And enjoyed that immensely. And whether you believe it or not, I believe this is Canada's team, and we need to put Canada's team back on the map. We have good people here. We're going to acquire good people, and we're going to make them better. You want to be in an environment where people care. And this fan base here, in my opinion, really cares about the Leafs, and they want us to be good. There's lots of people that have come here before. I'm not naive. Really good men and really good coaches and good people, and it hasn't gone as well as they had hoped. This is going to be a long process. I've said it to you right from the get-go. Won't back off that. It's going to take time. I'm excited like you can't believe for that opportunity. I really am. This is going to be a massive, massive challenge. And I'm going to get to know these guys, the guys that are on the team at training camp, and we're going to grow together. We're going to have good people on this team. We're going to have men on this team. We're going to have people that are accountable. That's just the reality of the situation, and that's how you win in the end, and that's what we're going to do.
It was the very first conversation we had after we got permission from Detroit was a very difficult one for me because it wasn't actually a sales pitch in a way. It was a very truthful conversation. Mike asked hard questions, and I didn't lie. I told him the truth. I got off the phone. I wondered whether I had just made a huge mistake.
There you go. Some of the highlights from today's press conference. He said it was Canada's team, and he wants to put it back on the map, so he's already made himself a villain to many hockey fans across this country, but a villain in a true sporting way. The new head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock, is standing by with Elliot Friedman.
Mike, when this whole process began, what did you think the chances were that Toronto would be the choice?
Well, none. It wasn't what I was thinking at all. And you know, I just went through the process, to be honest with you. I didn't know what would happen. I think I met with Toronto first, if I'm not mistaken. Before that happened, I had no idea. But once I met Larry and I talked to Shanny, then suddenly I went home and I told my family that was way more exciting than I expected. And then, you know, the process went on for a long time. But Shanny was relentless. He came to Prague. We met a number of times, but not meeting or interviewing, just being around. And they stayed with it. And in the end, as we went through the process, we end up being Maple Leafs. We're thrilled to be in Toronto. We're thrilled to be the coach of the Maple Leafs. And, you know, I'm excited, excited.
You know, it's interesting because most press conferences, whenever a new coach is hired, it's talk about winning the cup. We're going to have the parade. Your press conference was all about pain. It's very different to hear that kind of message.
Well, and I don't think it was all about pain. But it was all about understanding what the process is here. And I went through that heavily with the board. If they weren't all in, I wasn't coming. And, you know, I made it very clear. It was in Detroit. I'm about winning. I love to win. And it's no different here today. But the path we're taking, it has to be different. There's no chance for a quick fix here. It doesn't work like that. Now, that doesn't mean a lot of these players can't be involved in the process, but we have to get better daily. And you know, everyone talks about the cup. Well, the cup is cup preparation for your scouts, cup preparation for the draft, cup preparation for your pro scouting, cup preparation or cup worthy of your analytics, of your coaching staff, of your hiring people. It just doesn't happen. You build a program. That program, it's going to take a long time. And they committed to me for a long time, and I've committed to Toronto for a long time. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Now, one of the things has been talked about here is moving players in and out. Do you come in and say, hold on, I want to see these guys first play for me before we're dealing anybody?
Well, that's part, but also we're going to trust the people that are here. So is there an opportunity to help out in the meantime? Then let's go. But I don't know these players good enough. There's no way to know them from coaching against them like you're going to know them once you coach them. The other thing is, I'm a big believer in you start fresh. So Tony Granato comes to Detroit last year to work with me. He says, how many minutes does each D play? I said, well, how would I know? Coach him. Like, in other words, let's figure it out. Let's figure out what we have, and let's maximize the group, and let's keep acquiring picks so Hunts can make us better.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Elliot Friedman, Mike Babcock, Brendan Shanahan will make his way to speak with Elliot in just a second. We'll take you right back to the Air Canada Centre when that happens. But how about this idea of Mike saying that I don't know this team. I got to coach him first. I can't give you too much evaluation.
He knows the team. He knows them very well. He spent lots of time coaching against them. I'm not buying it. He knows them as well as lots of people know them. And if you're going to interview for a job, you talk to people, you listen to people, you understand the process. He knows these players. And you know what? He's going to get them know them a lot better. But again, I come back to the same question. Are these guys different playing for Mike Babcock? And you can make some monumental mistakes
if you move people without giving them a little bit of an opportunity or finding out as much. It's not, who is he going to find out from in this organization? There's so few people there that have been here long term other than Brendan and,
well, that's,
and Mark.
That's where it starts and ends.
So you've got to talk to them. But he knows, Babcock knows them as well as Shanahan knows them. And as well as Dubas knows them. Come on.
He made a couple of reference to, well, he's got all the nicknames down, doesn't he? Hunts, Dubs, Shanny. But to Mark Hunter, and I've been led to believe that Mark Hunter's presence was a major, major factor.
Didn't you get out of today that if you're Mike Babcock, we now know who he thinks should be the general manager?
Yeah.
Gets players. Hunter is a guy that
can
draft. We'll see what the players he can get. He's talking like Hunter is the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And I'm a big Mark Hunter fan, okay? But he's never drafted an NHL player yet. He's drafted junior players. He's a terrific guy. He's a good, I coached him, and he's excellent. But he hasn't drafted NHL players yet. That's let's be honest
here,
boys.
That's the pain, right?
That's the pain. And the process.
That's the pain. Mm-hmm.
When you consider what he talked about to Elliot and the pain and the process. And
right. So
when you think of a guy like Dean Lombardi and how he went to Los Angeles and how long did it take him for the process? And he had to reevaluate and replace all his scouts and everything and look where they are now.
All right, let's take you back to the Air Canada Center right now. Brendan Shanahan, the man who made this decision, is standing by with Elliot Friedman. Gentlemen.
Brendan, there's this impression that the Toronto Maple Leafs kind of waited in the weeds, saw what else Babcock was getting offered, and then stepped in and said, how do we get this done? How true is that?
It couldn't be further from the truth, actually. We weren't waiting in the weeds. I was on the phone with Kenny Holland the minute that he had announced or made it clear that he was going to be giving permission. We were on the phone with Mike shortly after that. We made our presentation, our pitch, our presentation of the city, the vision. We made our financial pitch then before he even went over to Prague. And then from that moment on, whether it was me meeting him in Prague and having discussions, late-night discussions, we met for breakfast one morning and had a long discussion. It was about just continuing to hammer home what we thought our vision was. And the opportunities I saw and the importance of a guy like Mike being the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the notion that we came in last minute, we had heard from everybody and saw all the reports that we were out of it, and it was ultimately going to be Mike's decision. We didn't feel out of it. We liked that everybody thought we were out of it. But we really didn't change our approach, our vision, our offer, his role, or the money. We just kept hitting the same message along. And it was Mike that eventually, I think after he made the decision he wasn't going to Detroit, I think it was at that moment, very late in the process, that it had come to him that he wanted to be the coach of the Maple Leafs. We had other options as well we were working on because we weren't sure ourselves. But I can assure you that our pitch was made before he went to Prague, and that there was no last-minute idea or last-minute swing for the fences. Mike came around.
Brendan, there was a lot of talk in the press conference about the process that the team has to go through, and the word pain was used multiple times. He is wired less for losing than any person I've ever met. Do you think he can handle the pain of that?
Not only do I... Look, he's not going to enjoy it, but not only was it a question of can I find a coach that can handle this, it was Mike coming back at us saying, can we handle it? So before we really even got... Mike's a smart guy. He studies teams. He studies situations. He's not coming here to just, you know, build a respectable team. He's coming here, and he was only willing to come here if he felt we were willing to go through that pain with him. Now, you're on the outside, and you're looking in as a coach of Detroit, so you don't exactly know what our message has been throughout the year and at the end of the season press conference. But I said to him, our board, our ownership, our city isn't just accepting that we have to do this the right way. They're demanding and they're embracing that we have to once and for all do this the right way, that there won't be shortcuts. Mike Babcock coming here is not a change in the plan. It's Mike Babcock actually embracing the plan.
Just you've lived it before. When he walks into a dressing room as a coach, how do things change?
Well, when I was looking for a coach, whether it was Mike or somebody else, I wanted somebody that could come in and have the skills and the knowledge to make, you know, do all the necessary things to make our team better. I don't think that it serves our young players well to not at the very least be building a foundation for the type of team we want to be. We might still struggle for a little while, but I didn't subscribe to the notion of why don't you go get the worst coach in hockey and finish last for the next few years. That's not good for the Morgan Rielys of the world or the William Nylanders of the world or the Nazem Kadris of the world. We need to start building that foundation now, always with our eye on the focus of really building a Stanley Cup contender. So Mike is a kind of guy that he has that kind of presence. When he walks into a room, he's in charge.
Thanks very much, Brendan.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, thank you very much, Elliot Friedman and Brendan Shanahan. So he says it right there, no tank, essentially. Yes. He is not good for Nylander.
Steve Dangle, is it Dangle that was pumping on the...
No, tank and Nation?
No tank. And again, it doesn't need to mean wins, but it needs to mean committed. Committed to be the best that you can be every day. And then let that process happen organically.
And the culture, too, which is really important for him, that the idea. What's interesting is that if, no matter who the Leafs would have hired, if that wasn't Mike Babcock, if they'd suffer for a year or two, there'd be the, is the coach going to get fired now? That's not going to happen for this coach.
That's a great
for
point.
A long time, yep. Right? So now everybody knows, the players know, the fans know, this is the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We should say a hello to the viewers on Sportsnet 360 who are now joining us here as Mike Babcock is named the new head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But you want stability, you need it. He said, though, that Mike came around.
Yeah. Well,
what does that mean to you?
Well, look, first of all, it's been out there for 6 months that the deal was going to be $5 million times 5 years. So a lot of people were out of this right away. A lot of teams.
Virtually
were
every team.
Yeah, virtually every team.
And Edmonton
so
didn't even, go there.
The question is, how many teams were really involved in this? Like, it was the Detroit Red Wings at $4 million times 5 years. And really, let's be honest here. Mike knew it was time to leave Detroit. Yeah. And I think Kenny Holland and Jim Devolano realized it was time for him to leave, too. I really believe that. So it was down to Buffalo and Toronto. To me, is there a decision to be made there? To me, he wanted to be in Toronto, and I don't think it. I think people think have the perception it was 10 teams after this guy. That's not the case. How many teams can pay $8 million a year for the first 3 years of a deal? Not many owners that
two.
I know.
No, two.
Buffalo.
Yeah,
two. Buffalo. Two are prepared to do it, and that's what it
can do. Other teams can. They just choose not to.
With all that said, they got a great coach today. They got a guy that will help this franchise. Yep. It doesn't matter at the end of the day, they got the guy. It doesn't matter about money. They got the guy, and he can help them hopefully go.
What he's talking about, though, is he came around to the notion that if I come to Toronto, yeah, for all that money, will you guys back me? Will you actually follow through on what you're going to say? And I think Babcock, quite rightly, he's an intelligent guy, said, I don't know. I don't know. I can go to Buffalo. I know Tim Murray. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have Jack Eichel. I can go there. And do that.
But I think you
what Shanahan was selling,
but I think
along
you,
with the money.
You also can't underestimate the importance of having the leadership above Brendan Shanahan and the
That's
Toronto
right.
Maple Leafs organization getting involved in this, and Larry Tannenbaum. Yeah. At this level, with this money, you need that kind of commitment. I think that's part of it.
Financially, the commitment's there. But let's be honest here. It's not been a great relationship between Bell and Rogers, and there's always friction in many aspects of that. You know, that's still out there. That hasn't changed.
Let's go check him. Elliot. Elliot, give us a wrap on what you've seen so far today.
Well, I think that, you know, you guys made the point I heard a couple minutes ago, and we talked about it here, is that there's a lot of press conferences you talk about winning the Stanley Cup, and that certainly wasn't the case at this particular one. There was a lot of talk about what this organization is going to have to go through, and it sounds like that was one of the biggest parts of the discussion, is Toronto really committed to a number of tough years before they're a winning team? You know, we talked yesterday when we aired the Kenny Holland media conference about, you know, the media pressures of Toronto and whether or not the organization's been able to handle it at certain times. They have people here, and certainly Babcock is one of them, who are ideally handled to withstand that and to make sure that that is something that's not going to be a factor. But it looks like the organization is committed to sitting down and saying, we're going to go through the cold days before the better days come. Also, I just, one other thing that was kind of talked about here, and both Babcock and Shanahan alluded to it, is that, you know, we've kind of had the impression that Toronto kind of came in late and made their offer towards the end. Both of them said that the offer was made right at the beginning. As you heard Shanahan say in the interview, they talked to Kenny Holland the moment Detroit made him available. We did report at the time that they went down that day because their private plane was registered to do so. And it's obvious that Toronto felt that they needed to jumpstart the process. I did check again today with a couple of people. The Maple Leafs did feel, while they were always in it, and Shanahan reiterated they were always in it, it was a couple of nights ago that they really began to feel that they were going to step in and get him. Until then, they were hopeful that they were in it, but they weren't sure. It was a couple of nights ago that they really began to sit there and say, we are going to get him. George?
Thank you very much, Elliot Friedman.
Just to add to that, this thing happened very quickly. Guy Boucher, I'm told, was expected to be the next head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was. I don't think the commitment was there just yet. They always had Babcock in the wings to close it out.
Doesn't that
they
kind
did.
Of speak to the Buffalo fan, though? This is how it works. Like, we do have people in place, and
right.
deals are really close. But until there's actually a contract signed,
that's right.
You know, there's nothing.
It's great for all hockey. When every team is competitive, you want key franchises, big franchises, to be competitive. Well, this is a good day for the Maple Leafs.
And this is the Leafs using their strength. Yeah. What's their strength? Their financial right. power. Right. That's what they use to get
and
this
the lure
deal
of this franchise.
That's right. And the bottom line, who cares about what happened? Who cares about who wanted them, who didn't want them? The bottom line of this whole thing is they got one of the best coaches in the NHL to come here. So,
Mike calling you?
Who
or what?
Cares about anything else?
Your pocket dialing me.
That's the bottom line.
And the bottom line
and
for
he better
me,
win.
Mike
yeah.
Babcock is exactly what this team needed.
Five for thoughts? The young players, yeah. especially, you know, and Shanahan
and
talking about.
And a few old ones.
And, well, but some of those ones might be gone then.
Yes.
Because when you talk about the young guys and put that foundation
that's,
in.
That's the brutal
who
honesty.
They look up to. Yes. When you look in a dressing room and you go in when you're in Detroit, you're a young guy, you come in, you would have seen Yzerman, Lidstrom, Datsyuk, Zetterberg. That's impressive. And I'm not saying Kessel and Phaneuf are bad and bad leaders, but that's not the same sort of environment.
He had Zetterberg, Datsyuk, and Lidstrom in their prime.
Yep.
That's big.
In their prime for 10 years.
Coverage continues on Hockey Central at noon.
Draper.
Over on Sportsnet 360. Tonight, there is a hockey game to watch, and it's big with the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago Blackhawks. I'll be sitting down and speaking with Mike Babcock. You'll see it in that game, 8 o'clock Eastern time. That last one was epic. Not Kelly Rudy epic, but epic. Don't miss it. Stanley Cup playoffs on Hockey Night in Canada to come.